Let us turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 and start reading at verse 20 through 39. And our text will be specifically the verses 30 through 39. One Kings chapter 18. We'll start reading at verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Verse 30, where our text then begins. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abram, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Here ends the reading of the scriptures and of our text. I'd like to preach this morning by way of the theme, the ministry of Elijah, the prophet of the Lord on Mount Carmel. And we'll consider that he repaired the altar of the Lord, he prayed to the Lord, and then we'll consider that the fire of the Lord fell. Beloved congregation, this Bible passage takes us to Mount Carmel. Very remarkable things are happening in this portion that we have read this morning. The prophet Elijah challenged the people of Israel, of the 10 tribes, particularly with the question, who is God? He asked them, how long will ye halt between two opinions? Stop limping from the one opinion to the other. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And then we read, and the people answered him not a word, no response. They just stood there, maybe stared at him, no response. What a terrible situation. Then Elijah said, let's have a test today to see who truly is God. Let the prophets of Baal have first opportunity. Let them take a bull, cut the bull in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. After them, I will take the other bullock. I'll do the same. And let them call upon their God. And I'll call upon the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And the God who answers by fire, let him be the God. If Baal answers by fire, let him be the God. But if the Lord, Yahweh, answers by fire, let him then be the God. That's how this morning we will, as it were, in the Spirit, stand here on Mount Carmel, congregation. And let's remember the terrible start for this great event. The people said not a single word, other than, go ahead if you want to do it. We agree to it. But at first they said nothing. And yet the Lord God did not let go of these people, these His covenant people. He wanted them back again as His people. After the 450 prophets of Baal had done what Elijah had said they had to do, and had been praying, by 12 o'clock noon, no fire had fallen from heaven. Elijah mocked them, and he said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's making a journey. Perhaps he's asleep, must be awakened. And this went on for a long time, and there came no fire from heaven. Then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Elijah said, come near unto me. And notice what happened. They came near to him. Do you think they will have thought, if the fire is going to come, we're going to get struck then by that fire? Or Elijah will be there, will. They came near. Here we see the ministry of the prophet of the Lord Elijah, congregation. The ministry of Elijah, but through his ministry, the Lord God of Israel himself is speaking and is acting here in the midst of his people. And he said to his people there, come near unto me.
And the result was that the people came near to Elijah. And then Elijah started to work. First of all, he repaired the altar. Very touching thing when you think of it, congregation. As to what that altar had been prior to it being repaired here, I can't tell you. There are various theories about it if you read various commentators. The only thing that I'll say is maybe it was an altar that had been used prior to this occasion for the worship of the Lord. Even though the Lord had said that he was to be worshipped in Jerusalem. But we read here that on this mountain, Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. And for repairing that altar, he did not just use 10 stones. He was a prophet here to the 10 tribes, you might say, because there had come that division. But he, for repairing this altar, took 12 stones. And then we read, according to the number of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. So a reference to Jacob, the deceiver, the sons of Jacob, and his new name Israel. It's almost like prior to this sacrifice, here are the sons of Jacob, and after the sacrifice, the sons of Israel. But remarkable that Elijah made use of 12 stones. Not 10, I said, not 2. He didn't say either, I'm speaking to you, but my heart is with the 2 tribes in Jerusalem. No, 12 stones. As it were, he was saying, O sons of Jacob, you have broken down this altar. And we have been broken in pieces. There is no longer the unity there needs to be among the people of God. But I'm going to build here an altar for all the people of God. Not just part of the people of Israel, but an altar for all the sons of Jacob unto whom the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, and he said, Israel shall be thy name. Isn't that a touching thing, congregation? Sometimes we talk too about things such as the churches are so divided. Here Israel was so divided. And that was according to a judgment of God, because he had sent the prophet to Jeroboam. And the kingdom was divided. And by now the children didn't know anymore really the way it was supposed to be. The same thing could be said about Judah. The children there didn't know any better either. There they said, we're the people of God, and in the northern kingdom, we are the people of God. And I say sometimes we also feel the pain of the churches being so divided today. And sometimes we don't even worry about it, congregation. And sometimes people say, makes no difference. It's all the people of God. They're all Christians. The other day there was an ecumenical service, and there was a Roman Catholic bishop, and there was a Lutheran superintendent. And they held a service together. And so many people thought, well, this is wonderful. And somebody else says, well, I didn't like it. I don't think it's supposed to be that way. But he said, we are all Christians. Is that how it is, congregation? Are they all Christians? Elijah said here, I shall repair the altar first. And he repaired the altar first in order to show that God's people are to be one, but not in the sense that so many Christians talk today, that they say, well, we are all Christians. But Elijah showed, first of all, that the people of God were one in respect to their sin, congregation, in respect to their guilt. And let us not remember that when we speak about churches being so divided, that if you wish to speak about a unity, there is a unity in sin. In sin. That's what Elijah emphasized first of all. God's people, sons of Jacob, are one in their sin before God. The altar has been broken down. And in chapter 19, as I quoted last week to congregation, there Elijah speaks to the Lord and he says, I've been jealous, very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because, he says, the children of Israel. Now, remember that this is after chapter 18. After the marvelous ending in this chapter 18. But in chapter 19 he says, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. There you have then the unity of the people, but in a negative sense, congregation, they are one in that they have all forsaken the covenant of the Lord. And they have all thrown down the altars. And they have slain the Lord's prophets with the sword. Three things in which the people of God were one. They have forsaken the covenant. And then if I think in terms of ourselves today, congregation, and stop thinking for a moment of Israel in the days of Elijah, must that be said about us that we have forsaken the covenant? We may know a great deal about the covenant, and we may know that in some churches they teach two covenants, and in other churches they teach a three covenant a doctrine, and some teach a one covenant, and we may know the doctrines, and we may be able to spell out the difference between the one view and the other, but that's not the same yet as having a spiritual knowledge of God as the God of the covenant. And knowing what His covenant mercies are all about, and knowing of our sin and of our need of the blood of the covenant, the altars, and the application through the Holy Spirit. You see, with all our knowledge of the covenant, we can still be spiritually dull and dead. And if that's the case, then we have also forsaken the covenant. And if you think in terms of what Elijah then said that they had thrown down, and you see it here in our text, they had thrown down, they had broken down the altars. And then to think that the altars or the altar was the place where God, the God of the covenant, on the basis of the sacrifice, substitutionary sacrifice, was pleased to meet with His people, the place of reconciliation, the blood of atonement. And if you think in terms of where we are at today, congregation, I think generally speaking in many quote-unquote Christian churches, the doctrine of blood, of the atonement, does not have the basic place, the focal place. Partly because the tendency in so many churches is, we are all Christians. We need to live like Christians. A certain activism. And there are churches where years ago they preached the blood of the covenant, and today they don't even believe that there was any need for someone by the name of Jesus to shed His blood. He did it, they will agree, but there was no need for it. Thrown down the altars. And Elijah says they have slain
thy prophets with the sword. Now, we don't do that here in America, congregation. Our law opposes that, unless the minister is a murderer and he needs to have capital punishment. But while we don't have the practice of slaying the prophets, and we do know that it happens in other countries where the ministers are persecuted for preaching the gospel, in our country we can silence the minister by not listening to the word of God. We can sit in church and we can say, oh, that's him again, and just shut him out and ignore the word of prophecy. Think of all these things, congregation, as here Elijah is dealing with the people on Mount Carmel, and he is saying, sons of Jacob, we are one. Not in that we are one in worshipping the God of the covenant, but we are one in our sin and in our guilt. We have forsaken the covenant, broken down the altar, slain the prophets. And you may think, congregation, you can't say that about us, because we are still a good church. Allow me to ask a question about that from the Word of God. Are we a good church? Have we not forsaken the covenant, not broken down the altars? May I ask that question? May I ask it not only about inside this building, but may I ask it also about your home and your heart? Is it not so that the forsaking of the covenant is something that happens unawares in many cases? I mean the things such as forsaking the covenant, breaking down the altars, no longer listening to the word of prophecy. Usually that happens unawares, congregation. And all of a sudden, it's gone. All of a sudden, it turns out it's all gone. Even if I think of what the Lord Jesus says in the Gospels when he speaks a number of times about what happens to the cares of this life, how they affect us. We are all so busy and we forget the true service of God and the worship of God. Must that be said about you, about me? Here Elijah was busy taking 12 stones, building an altar in the name of the Lord. And the people had drawn near to him, and they saw how 4 barrels with water were brought, and the water was poured out over the animal and over the wood and over the whole altar and over the trench all around it. 4 more barrels, Elijah said. 8 barrels. Again, the water covered the animal that had been cut in pieces. And the wood was getting so wet, and there was water in the trench. 4 more barrels, Elijah said. And sure enough, they saw 4 plus 4 plus 4 is 12. Is that for each of the tribes? If you look at the altar and the animal on it being cut to pieces, everything is ready now. But where is the fire to come from? It could not come from below. If it had to come, and that's what Elijah had said, it has to come from above.
from heaven.
Congregation, once a person comes to see that it has to come from heaven and from God in heaven, then that person has come a long ways in what a person must learn in his life. If we may know that, and our children may know that, and that we go to that God, as Elijah does in the next moment, and we say, O God, we have forsaken thy covenant, we have thrown down thine altars, we have ignored thy word, and we cannot get any fire. Look! There is water all over. When that moment comes, congregation, that we lift our eyes aloft to God in heaven. Have mercy, O Lord. We need fire. We need the fire from heaven. And that's our second point. We have seen that Elijah has repaired the altar. Everything is in place now. Water has been poured over. Then we read in verse 36 and following. I quote, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. There we have Elijah's prayer. A simple prayer, but a very powerful prayer, congregation. But a prayer prayed not with a great deal of commotion, not like the Baal priest had been praying. We have read that they even leaped upon the altar, and they had knives, lancets, to cut themselves until the blood gushed out upon them. They exerted themselves to such an extent, and they had thrown themselves down, they had jumped again on the altar in ecstasies. All that can be done. Men can do that, congregation. Just get people to have some religion, some ideal, and get them going into a rave. They'll be able to do things that will astonish anybody. And it's done in many places also today, congregation. And that's what they did here on Mount Carmel, the Baal priest. Could those men ever pray? But nothing happened. No fire from heaven. Next it was Elijah's turn. He did not make a great deal of commotion. He did not jump on the altar either, and down off it and then back, none of it. There he stood, in a sense all alone, congregation. Had he not taken too great a risk? There he stood in the presence of these people at this altar. Let me read. He came near at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Doesn't only mean he had been looking at his watch, which he did not have, and said, 3 o'clock now. But at this very time in Jerusalem, there was the time of the evening sacrifice. And in Jerusalem, even though we do not read of it here, but in Jerusalem there was a priest in the temple. And an animal was sacrificed. And the priest came near. And with coals from that altar, he went into the holy place. And he prayed to the Lord. And we know what he prayed there in Jerusalem. What did he pray? He prayed something like, Lord God, thou hast promised
that thou wouldest come and dwell with thy people. On the basis of the sacrifice, come and dwell with thy people. And have mercy upon us. But come. And as a priest was praying there in Jerusalem, Elijah was praying here on Mount Carmel. All by himself, with the people standing near to him. And if you look at Elijah here, congregation, you see the great prophet Elijah. But did you notice that he is a very small man here? He's standing here before the Lord. When a person stands before the Lord, he's a small man. And he's a sinner. And he comes before the Lord. And he prays. He calls upon the Lord. This is what he says. He says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. God of the covenant. Thou art the God of the covenant. There can be no doubt about that. Thou hast been the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Here are the sons of Jacob. And he continues, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That was Elijah's prayer, congregation. And if you try to analyze that prayer, what do you see? You see, first of all, that it was a prayer in which he was pleading the name of the God of the covenant. He was not just Elijah, and he had a certain doctrine of the covenant. But here he confessed the covenant and the God of the covenant. And he did it not with his lips, but he did it with his heart, congregation. And in all simplicity he said, Lord, thou art the God of our father Abraham, and thou art the God of our father Isaac, and thou art the God of our father Jacob, of Israel. Here we stand on Mount Carmel. And the fire must come from thee. However much thy people have forsaken thy covenant, O Lord, please remember thy covenant made in days of old with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the only pleading ground for Elijah. And notice that he is pleading for the conversion of Israel, of the people who have forsaken the covenant, turned to idols. But he acknowledges the God of the covenant. And he says, let it be known, O Lord, today that thou art the God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done these things at thy word. The 3.5 years of no rain, at thy word. Because that was God's punishment, congregation. And pretty soon 450 prophets will be put to death at the word of the Lord. In evil we have gone astray. And sinful is our race. Rebelliously our fathers walked, forgetful of thy grace. Though they rebelled, yet for their help in saving strength he came, to make his power almighty known, and glorify his name. That's the prayer, congregation, that Elijah prayed here. And he says, Lord, let it be known, give credentials at this very moment from heaven, that the people may know I'm not doing these things just of my own, but at thy word. Lord, hear me. Hear me. And let them know that thou hast turned their heart back again. You see, congregation,
sometimes we can get, we ministers, we can get the people in a certain sense to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. But we cannot get their hearts to turn again. That they have turned away from the Lord, we cannot get their hearts to be turned back to the Lord in such a way that really they have been turned back again to the Lord. Elijah says, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God who hast," some translate, "who does turn back the hearts again." That was Elijah's prayer. When we think of that prayer, congregation, then maybe there are in our midst some, maybe many, who have also prayed this prayer and experienced this prayer in the way that Elijah is praying here. Do you know that you prayed and you knew that I am unable to turn my heart back again to the Lord? I must and I can't do it. And maybe at that time you also discovered that you were able to turn your back to the Lord. By nature, all of us have done so. By nature, we have turned our hearts away from the Lord. And we may be covenant members, congregation. But by nature, our heart is gone from the Lord. We can bring up our children in the fear of the Lord and teach them the Bible verses. But to turn the heart to the Lord, mom can do it, dad can do it, the minister can do it. And maybe some of us know what it was when you turned your back on the Lord. One sin, and you turned your back to the Lord. Ever fallen into sin? And then realized it and thought, "I got to turn back to the Lord." And you couldn't do it. "I got to turn back in a hurry." And you couldn't do it. We are able to turn from the Lord. I say we are able to do that of ourselves. We can't turn ourselves back to the Lord, congregation. That is something that God must do. And God is willing to do that. Not in the way of a great commotion, but in the way of a person humbling himself before the face of the Lord. Don't get a knife out and start cutting yourself. But go on your knees. And what you need to do is you need to remind God of what His name is. Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, that's Thy name. Hear me, O Lord, and let me know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned my heart back again. How comforting a prayer this is, congregation. Sometimes a mother, sometimes a father, sometimes the minister, in a pastoral visit, talks with someone. Maybe he's talked before with someone. Maybe he's talked before with someone. And you're sitting down with someone. And you begin to sense there comes a measure of conviction. And there comes a moment and you think, now if I would say just the right words, and you think of which words can I use from the Bible, then I've got his heart. And you thought you used the right words. And the person got up and said, "Well, thanks, Pastor. I got to get going." Or your daughter or your son says, "Well, Dad, I need to think about that. If I feel like it, let's sit down again." And you realize you could not touch his heart. And the next time you sit down with her or him, you say, "It's a lot worse than the time before." Who is able to turn the heart back to the Lord, congregation?
only the Lord. And what a blessing when it happens. When I'm not able to do it, and I sense my need, and I go to Him, and I plead His name, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, let me of Thy good grace partake. My need is great, and great Thou art, to heal my wounded, stricken heart, or to turn my heart back again to Thee, O Lord. And that's what the Lord did in Israel's congregation, as we see. Thirdly, we saw how Elijah repaired the altar. We have heard Elijah pray to the Lord. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. All of a sudden, there was the fire from heaven. If Elijah said after his prayer, Amen, right there, the fire was there. God is the great hearer of that prayer, congregation. And it shall come to pass, Isaiah later on would write, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Some commentators, they say, what was now that fire? Was that some thunder and lightning from a blue sky? And some commentators say it must have been. That's not what it was, congregation. That's not what it was. What was it then? It was the fire of God from heaven. Do you remember that that happened before in the Bible? Can you think of an instance that that happened? Boys and girls, do you remember that when the tabernacle had been built and everything was put into its place, and then Aaron brought the sacrifice? You read about it in Leviticus. And let me read it to you from my notes. And there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. I said that's in Leviticus chapter 9. And do you know when else it took place in the Old Testament? When Solomon dedicated that beautiful temple of the Lord, congregation. And I read from 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of God filled the house. There is one more occurrence in addition to 1 Kings 18. Can you think of it? In the Old Testament, do you remember that David had sinned against the Lord in taking a census? And then he came to that place where the angel of the Lord was going to, and the angel of the Lord stopped there, remember? And then he bought a threshing floor from a man by the name of Araunah, if I recall correctly. That was the place where later on the temple by Solomon was then built. And I read to you from 1 Chronicles 21 verse 26. David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. That's what's happening here, congregation, in 1 Kings chapter 18. Our God is a consuming fire. No man can see God and live. This is the fire of the wrath of God over the sins of His people. But amazingly, the people are not killed by the fire, but the animal and everything of the offering. But the people spared. Here is the sacrifice the burnt offering sacrifice. Here is substitution, congregation, that points to the substitution when Christ on the cross gave his life as the Lamb of God. He bore the fire of the wrath of God. God is a God of fire, congregation. Who can stand before that fire? Only those who are sheltered by the sacrifice of atonement, which is, I repeat, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think of another fire yet. In the New Testament. That was not a real fire. But I think of the day of Pentecost, the great day of Pentecost in the Bible. And what happened there? When Christ's sacrifice had been accomplished, redemption accomplished, and he was buried, third day rose again, 40th day ascended into heaven, on the 50th day he poured forth his spirit that he had received of his Father. And that fire, as a fire on the heads of those in Jerusalem in that upper room, was not to consume congregation, but that was in order to teach and in order to convict and in order to have people come to that point that they say, "Men, brethren, what must we do? We have killed the Son of God." Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the New Testament congregation. And notice that here in the days of Elijah, when that fire came, then the people, when they saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he's the God. The Lord, he's the God." And not Baal. How is that in our life, congregation? Have we come to see our need of the blood of the covenant in Jesus and of the Spirit to take it out of Christ and to show it to us? You see, we read of these people that they acknowledge the Lord, he is the God. And yet we know from the Bible that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord, unto me," Jesus says, "shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And that can only be through Christ. He has done the will of the Father. And this is the will of the Father, that we believe on the Son of God. And else, congregation, else, if we just sit here and say, "Oh, is that how it is to be? Oh, okay, let me think about it." The day is at hand that you will stand before this God, and he will cast out all those who have not come to plead his covenant name for mercy in Jesus Christ. Will be cast out. But those who have come to see their need of this blood of Jesus Christ and his finished work, he leads those people through this life. And we struggle in our spiritual life, but he leads them. And he leads them by pleading his covenant. And he leads them by teaching them the Lord, he is the God. And today he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And God's people, straight through all the troubles in the present world that we face, congregation, God's people whose hearts he has turned back to him again, He is leading them to that day that they will come before Him. And Christ will say, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." And then we will see the oneness of the people of God around the throne, having their clothes washed by the blood of the Lamb. And what will they say, congregation? What will they sing? They will take the crown of their heads that are given to them, and they'll put it at His feet, and they will say, what will they say? They will say, "The Lord, He is the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God. He is the God, our God." Amen.